Welcome to Yam Sessions, I guess.
They have cool stickers. I have one on my computer.
Really cool stickers.
Shout out to Yam Sessions stickers.
I wish I had stickers like Yam Sessions.
Yeah, dude, they're crazy.
They're inspirational to the sticker game.
Oh, dude. Don't even get me started.
Well, I would say we've got a special show in store for tonight.
Oh, we have a really, really special evening for all you faithful listeners.
Because you know you're still going to get the crunchiest tunes in the game. Because you're listening to Yam Sessions.
Absolutely, yeah, no. The Yams won't stop.
The Yams definitely won't stop, but we've got...
But maybe for like 10 or 15 minutes.
Maybe a cherry
minutes.
On
yeah.
top,
Yeah,
could
no,
I say?
Maybe the Yams will stop for like 10 or 15 minutes in like 5 minutes. Because we have a very, very special guest coming on.
Between 10:05 and 10:10.
Yeah, as it happens. That's pretty soon.
I'd say.
So, Gabe, who do we have coming on here tonight?
We've got one of the founders of the multi-Grammy winning band Snarky Puppy coming on.
Wow.
Moz, or Mike Mayer.
Yeah, Moz is a super great guy. He's agreed to share some experiences with us tonight. We're super excited to have him on.
Some wisdom, maybe?
Some wisdom. He has multiple projects going on. He's a...
I've heard he's wise.
Oh, he's definitely a wise, wise man. But on top of that, on top of doing some really, really cutting-edge contemporary jazz with Snarky Puppy, which is what we're listening to right now, he's also doing his own tour with his singer-songwriter project, with some really, really cool stuff coming out of there. He's got some great fusion, some really cool, like, softer stuff going on, too. So we're really excited to have him on. And I guess until then, enjoy some tunes by Snarky.
Keep it real, guys. All right, so we're back, and we have Maz joining us.
How's it going, Maz?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. So, yeah, we just thank you so much for coming on the show, Yam Sessions, on 91.5 WMFO. We're subbing in for Cody and Noah again, but we've got Maz with us. We've got a great show, and
yeah. So, Maz, how's your tour going so far?
The tour is good. I'm actually back in New York for a couple of days before the kind of the official last date. That'll be on Friday in Boston.
Awesome, and that's going to be at Berkeley, right? At the Red Room.
Yeah, at the Red Room.
Awesome. That's a great little spot.
Yeah. I played it with Snarky years ago. It'll be cool to come back under different circumstances, you know.
Yeah, totally. So, speaking of different circumstances, so this a lot of listeners might be able to tell that your Maz project is a little bit different from the Snarky Preppy project. So, what kind of stuff do you have to say about like your musical direction with this project?
I think it's a little bit weird from my perspective to talk about it because the singer songwriter and the concept of writing songs and incorporating things like psychedelic rock and influences like Stevie Wonder and Steely Dan and James Taylor and James Brown and Sly and the Family Stone, all that kind of stuff. You know, incorporating that stuff to me in my own head and in my own life is completely natural. And I think anybody who's known me in any way outside of what I do with Snarky Puppy, it would seem completely natural to them as well. But I think because of the association I have with Snarky Puppy, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a surprise for people, first of all, to see me singing,
right,
not playing trumpet at all, but also to be sort of relying on more of a songwriter angle for the group.
Yeah, right.
And using the song as kind of the jumping off point for the live show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time playing in horn sections just like you have, and I find that when I'm in a setting that's a little bit smaller and more open, it can be a lot of fun. You can get a lot of really cool creative stuff happening.
Yeah, sure.
You mentioned a couple of your influences for your Maz project. I guess a good question is who, historically speaking, are your inspirations as a musician?
I mean, Miles Davis for sure on trumpet.
Absolutely.
Dave Douglas, Dizzy Gillespie, guys like Shane Ensley and Christian Scott, contemporary dudes who are friends and inspirations at the same time. You know, I would say my list is probably the same as a lot of people.
Right, yeah.
And as a songwriter, guys like Donald Fagen or the Beatles or James Taylor or Stevie Wonder or Leonard Cohen or Bob Dylan, again, probably a pretty normal list. There's no like sort of diamonds in the rough. You know, I don't have any like special influences that nobody else has or anything. Like
yeah.
That,
yeah, that's cool that you mentioned guys like Christian Scott, because I feel like right now, especially in the jazz scene, we've got a lot of really, really cool contemporary projects happening with guys like Kamasi and Terrace Martin, Christian Scott, and it seems like there's a really, really interesting like world community that's gonna come together pretty soon.
Yeah, it feels, I think there's always stuff happening, but yeah, maybe you're right that there's a little bit of a surge right now.
Nice.
So we were also just wondering, talking a little bit about touring, how's this current tour going so far?
It's good. It's been really great. Nice. This is my second tour as a leader, doing the Maz stuff, and it's just a blast. You know, it's kind of reminding me of some of the early days of, you know, riding around in a van with Snarky and kind of earning it every night, which is really, really refreshing, man, and so much fun.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Got Jason Thomas on drums. Bob Lanzetti was on guitar for this week, and this guy David Cutler, great bassist out of New York, and then Michelle Willis was both heading her own songs with the same musicians and opening up for me most nights, and some nights even in Canada closing cool. the night. But she was doing that, but also playing keyboards with me, and then I was singing on her stuff. So
that's awesome.
It was a cool thing. Yeah, it was like a sort of a transformer band. You know, yeah. kind of had like a yeah.
that's
it was
great.
Cool. So
yeah. yeah. So I remember a couple of years ago, I saw you guys when you guys played at the BPC, and you were like running kind of late that day because you're having some van problems in Rhode Island. So I guess a follow-up question to that is, what's like the most ratchet vehicle you've ever toured in?
Well, the Snarky Puppy organization had a 50-foot sort of burnt orange school bus for a while that that Mike bought. Or one of our friends bought and then rented to us. Bought it from some guy who was a University of Texas at Austin like fan, and I guess he was a bar owner in Austin, and he used the bus to shuttle people from his bar to the UT games.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that bus was bought for way too little money, and you know, gutted. Yeah, and man, there were some scary. There were definitely some scary times in that. It broke down about every 2 to 3 days.
Wow.
And the craziest, yeah, which is already crazy, but then the craziest thing about it is that it was a Bluebird school bus from God knows what year. So when you break down in a regular car, you go to, you know, any number of mechanics. But when you break down in a bus, you have to go to a special mechanic that can work on a Caterpillar engine, you know. It was just madness.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked really cool, and it was nice to, we had bunks in it at a certain point. It was nice to sleep in, but it didn't get us anywhere.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and when you're playing like 150-odd shows a year, I'm sure that gets a little old when you can't get to where you're trying to go.
Yes.
Definitely. I guess, so Snarky Puppy's been playing for a super long time. You guys have, or I guess a lot of you guys have known each other since your college days at University of North Texas. So I guess a question of mine is how do you view the way that your sound has evolved over time? As I guess this is true for both the Moz project and the Snarky Puppy project.
How do I view, what does it seem like to me, you mean?
Just from your perspective, because like we can form opinions based on listening, but I don't know, there's something really valuable about hearing how that kind of evolution happens in the musician's mind.
Yeah, I think there's the obvious things. There's the incorporation of more hip hop and funk and house music and world music styles over the years. Those are kind of the obvious things that are happening. But the more sort of under the surface stuff that's even hard to talk about for me is the sort of elusive thing that happens between musicians when they play a lot together. And you know, I mean, that's the thing that you can neither predict nor really explain.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So even for myself, there's relationships that have to do with musically and otherwise that have to do with me understanding these guys deeply in a musical sense. And I really, truly would love to try to break it down in some sort of like, you know, academic way, but I know that I can't do that now. Break down that sort of elusive thing that happens, but it's there, you know. So I have to say I can't really answer that question because I really feel like the most important thing is that elusive element.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting you mentioned that at the same time that you mentioned the sort of prominent influences that we're seeing in music today, sort of electronic hip hop, sort of pop, I guess current pop music. A lot of that is done sort of on computers. A lot of that music is produced electronically. So I was curious what your take on being a live musician in today's just current music landscape, what that's sort of like when you see the most popular artists being less focused on achieving that elusive bond.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't really judge the intentions or the artistic goals of you know, artists that might be in a more like pop realm or a more electronic realm or a less live, live performance realm. But for whatever reason, it's always attracted me to have the ability to communicate through an instrument in the spur of the moment, you know?
Right.
I mean, I think that's why even the Moz stuff that I'm doing now, when I get on stage and I sing, in a live context, it's jazz in the sense that it can go in a lot of different directions.
Yeah,
I would
yeah.
say any direction. You know what I mean? Mm. So I would never sort of build or promote my Moz stuff as jazz, but I am a jazz musician mm-hmm. in the fact that I can improvise.
Right.
I can lead the band through improvisations that would be nothing like the song.
Totally.
And I like that. It's something that I love about music. It keeps it exciting. Yeah, and when you're playing the same stuff every night, it gets really hard to bring new energy to it without sort of trying new things.
Definitely. Definitely.
Somebody with that kind of background, somebody with a jazz background, has an advantage at keeping things fresh, for 30 days in a row.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
And I think that's something cool. This is true for Snarky Puppy, for me personally. You guys are the reason why I know what a Moog synthesizer is. Like, you guys are taking these technologies that are being developed and taking these really, really cool musical tools and then applying them to really, really, like, I guess not traditional settings, because your songs are traditional, like, not traditional, to say the least. But it's just, like, it's really cool to be able to see them being integrated in, like, in a huge band with a lot of people and a lot of stuff happening and all these crazy ideas flying around. I think that's awesome.
Sure.
If you're going to say something, go ahead.
No, I was just going to launch into something else. You go ahead.
Oh, okay. I know that you spent a lot of the last 10 odd years touring around the world, and I guess I want to know, like, what are some of the really valuable things that you've learned from working with world musicians?
I guess the world musicians I've worked with, there's been people from all over the world. You can really just kind of apply, that might be a jazz thing as well,
mm-hmm.
being able to adapt, being able to use your ears and your sort of musical radar.
Mm-hmm. Using music as a language.
But there's so much depth. Going down to Cuba, and playing with musicians in that unbelievable tradition, you're instantly aware that stepping on the stage with them is kind of like, I can't think of a good metaphor for it.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah, you're not in your element.
Right, yeah.
No matter how good you are, you're mm-hmm. not in your element, because really what the tradition of that music is still strong around the world, it's not dying down at all. It's not dying out at all. And it's so deep, with the African heritage of it and the cultural and religious intertwining of the culture and the religion
to
the rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's such a deep history, and when you look at somebody like Pedrito Martinez, for example, who understands and is steeped in that tradition, not only from from the standpoint of having studied it, but from the standpoint of having grown up in it, in the religion,
in
the culture, all of that. You just realize, you step on the stage with somebody like that, and you realize that there's no way. You just have to play and everybody meets each other in the middle, of course.
Oh, totally.
But feeling this whole other world of musical understanding. And we have that here too, in the blues and
mm-hmm.
in soul music and in funk music, there's these trains and lines of lineage that have to do with groups of people and mm-hmm. and generations of people. And the strength of that over time, when you feel that in any genre of music, it can be felt. It's very apparent.
Yeah, and I think that's especially it's been really cool to see your sort of travels around the world and looking at the different people you've been playing with, how and how they each kind of bring something new to the table based on like their background. Like, for example, you could get like musicians out of Nigeria that play with a completely different style than musicians out of Japan. And I think that's really, really cool to see, especially following you guys on social media and stuff, see what who you're working with and what kind of sounds you guys are able to get out and what kind of stuff you're able to explore. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I think that's what it is for us too, is that it's sort of a selfish, we're just interested in the experience of, we're just as interested in the experience of learning, through listening about their cultures. I mean, you get when you play with somebody like that, you get completely immersed in what they have to say.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Speaking of you mentioned Cuba as one example, but we know you've been a ton of places all around the world. Are there any places in particular that you've had special experience in, whether that be just having a really amazing experience playing a show or just the culture of the city you play in, anywhere that stuck with you or a favorite place to play?
We've had a ton of really cool experiences. Brazil and Cuba, obviously, because of the musical heritage.
Yeah.
Cuba was interesting. I just went down there with Snarky Puppy for the first time, a month ago or something like that.
Mm.
And it was interesting not only from the standpoint of music, but also from the standpoint of communism.
Mm.
And to see, that was the first time I'd really, really been to a communist country.
Right, yeah.
Well, I guess I'd been to China and Russia, but it felt different.
Yeah, no.
I'm not exactly sure why.
It's definitely a situation, a different situation going on down there. It's definitely like a very different society than the one that we have here in the Northeast, at least.
Mm-hmm. Compared to other communist countries, it's frozen in time, unlike other countries that have sort of developed with the ages.
Right, and it's a communist country in the middle of the Caribbean.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
50 miles from Florida.
From the United States, It's a very interesting juxtaposition of different, politically speaking, of different influences.
All right, we just have one more quick question for you before we have to part ways. And it has to do with Snarky Puppy's continued engagement with music education across the country and throughout the world. And I guess a question from me to you is, what kind of stuff do you think is really effective in teaching music specifically?
Well, I mean, I don't consider myself a master teacher or anything like that. I'm what's really effective? I think when I go in and I teach, either a private lesson or a clinic, I try to offer as much of my experience to the students as possible. It's really the experience that I think is what, a younger musician needs. And so that means, obviously there are technical things that need to be worked out for younger musicians. But also there's a kind of perspective,
Right, yeah.
That you get from playing a lot that helps you to understand the role, sort of reconnects you to a certain degree with the role of a musician in society.
Totally. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. Yeah, I think that's the thing that maybe to a certain degree, when people get too locked into the academic side of things, they might find it easier to lose sight of that connection.
Mm. Definitely.
The essence of music.
Yeah, I'm just gonna sneak one more quick one in here. What's your opinion of Sean Martin's stank face?
His stank face? I don't know, man. I don't even know what that is.
Just the face he makes when he's playing a stanky line.
Oh, I don't know, man.
I don't know. That's just been a question of mine. He always makes good faces.
I don't have any opinion about it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was an awesome conversation.
Yeah, really a pleasure.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
See you guys on Friday.
Yeah, definitely. Great. Have a great show.
Yep. Thanks a lot. All right. So We are back. That was Moz. We hope you guys enjoyed the interview, and we'll just throw some music back on.
Yeah, shout out to Moz for the great interview. Yep. Thanks for being on.
See you in a few.
so you should know.
Love to keep him strong, and then This is the sound of E. coli splashing around in raw hamburger juice on your cutting board. And it looks like Mom just put the tomatoes and onions on there, too. Don't let E. coli mosh with your food. An estimated 3,000 Americans die from a foodborne illness each year. So always separate raw meat from vegetables on two cutting boards. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Christmas and